Now, I don't know what you were expecting to happen at this session. Were you expecting to come and discover how to play? You've had your brain stretched to snapping point this morning, and you just want to play. Is that what it is? I'm sorry, no. because when we say crafts that really work, it's not, here's a few ideas for crafts that you can do that the kids will really like and enjoy, and, you know, they're really easy and you won't have to spend any time doing them. It's more about how you can make crafts, the craft time that you do with children or young people or whoever you've got in your group, how you can make your craft time work as part of your teaching package to lead to what you're doing Sunday school for in the first place, which is to teach people about Jesus. How is it we can make crafts become not just the thing that fills in time, but the thing which builds on the explanation of God's word and enables the children to understand more about Christ? Okay, so here's the confession. A deep confession about me and why I am doing this. Have you ever been to a session where an evangelist has come to your church and he said, I'm going to teach you how to speak to other people about Jesus? And the evangelist, who's really good at speaking to other people about Jesus, tells you all about how to do it. And you go away thinking, wow, he's brilliant. He can really talk to people about Jesus. But I could never do that because I just don't have his gifts and his skills. He just seems to know what to say. He seems to be unashamed to say it. Well, I'm the man who's doing the craft session because I am rubbish at crafts. I really am. I am absolutely, utterly hopeless. There's a picture I drew just to show how bad I am at crafts. And I drew that last week. Okay. No, I didn't. That's from one of my Sunday school kids. And that's why I'm leading this session, because You need, even if you are really, really bad at crafts, you need to know how to make crafts work so that the children enjoy them and that they become a really important part of the teaching package. Okay, so off we go. And I'm basically going to do a few introductory things, and then I'm going to set you going on some crafts which I'm going to put on your tables. Now, this is a training session. So the crafts I'm going to give you, I'm not going to give you them because they're really good and easy crafts to do. I'm going to give you them because they contain questions. And as you think about how you do them and the kind of children that you might give them to and who they would work with, it will be training you to think the right things about how craft works in your Sunday school group. Okay? So don't complain that you can't do it. You might not be able to do it for a deliberate reason, which is why you're here to be trained in this, okay? Right, why do you do crafts at all? Just some practical thoughts about that. First of all, children have different learning styles. There are some kids who will sit down and listen to a story, but there are kids who love just to have their hands full of doing things, and they will be more receptive and approachable and be hearing better as you are talking about the story through and with a craft that is in their hands that they're working on. They give a real sense of achievement, don't they, to children? Children, they love colouring. I can't quite work it out nowadays why they love colouring, but they do. They love colouring. I personally, when I was 8-year-old, could not be torn away from anything that had a dot to dot in it. It just ticked all the boxes up in my crazy mind somehow. But there is a great sense of achievement that it gives children to be able to create something which is nice. It's great fun. Isn't it great fun? Your kids have great fun doing making things? It is. It's really great fun. We repeat. I have some rules. I'd run a 3-to-7s thing. We have some, not really rules, because we believe in grace, but the way we operate in our Sunday school is, three things. We're here to have fun, first of all. Why are we here to have fun? Because God loves us and wants us to really enjoy ourselves. That's the first thing I always say to children when they come into the room. And doing crafts is part of that. He's God is a creator who's made us creative, and being creative is an expression of what God has given us. And the last thing is, craft time is a brilliant opportunity for building relationships with children. You're sat with them, you're talking to them, it's about a conversation, you're helping them do something, but it's a conversation. You're building a relationship with them, which is really important and valuable within the context of everything you do week by week. But why do you do crafts at all? There are some really important spiritual... They'd be worth doing just for the first page, but you'd just be a Christian running a club if you just did them for that reason. To make crafts work, you want to focus on the real spiritual reasons why doing crafts is important. And the first thing is, many crafts are simply about remembering or repeating the story. So a few weeks ago, we had a little, it was too complicated a craft for my age group, we had a little wheel, which was the story of Jonah, and you turned the wheel, and Jonah appeared in various places. He went onto the boat, then he went down into the hold and fell asleep, and you opened a flap, and then he came out into the mouth of the whale. It was the first, you know, chapter one and two of the story. But the great thing about the craft was, while you were making it, you simply got the children repeating the story. You said to them how it worked, and you showed them, and then it was now. You tell me the story. And they told me the story as they turned the wheel round. Simply remembering or repeating the story. Some crafts might be to reinforce the teaching or to bring out some particular application. What did we do 2 Sundays ago? We talked about how Jesus was a servant. And I think we sent children, I wasn't actually there at this one, but children were sent home making a, it was a thing that they basically gave to their parents, which said, I want to serve like Jesus served, and a list of things that they could do during the week to serve God by serving in the household. It might have been washing up or tidying their bedroom or something like that. But the emphasis wasn't on the works. It was on, you know, a response to what Jesus has done for us. But there's a craft that reinforces the application rather than just the story. It's also about spiritual relationship building, isn't it? One of the things one of the things you always do is make a craft yourself. In order to show the children what the finished craft might look like, although in my case, theirs is nearly always better than the one I've made. I always then make my own with them. Because it often gives me the opportunity to talk about something. You know, it might just be I'm drawing the significant people in my family. I'm drawing, you know, my dad and my mum. And it gives me the opportunity to talk about my relationship, if it's the Ten Commandments, honoring how I need to honor my mum and dad for myself as an adult. I'm developing a spiritual relationship where I talk about my faith in Christ and how it affects my life, at the same time as you're encouraging children to understand what it means to, in this case, honor their parents. So it's the fellowship of the saints, but over a drawing or a make. And here's the last thing, which I think is really important, and it's one of the things I really want to underline and for us to focus on in this session. I take the view that the people responsible for the spiritual development and growth of their children primarily is the parents. Scriptures teach that children should be brought up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, and the responsibility for spiritual growth of the family is the parents, and actually particularly dad. Now, I know that that's not always the case, and in fact, in some families where the parents aren't Christians, it might be tricky to work out, but what I think it does do is say to us who teach the Bible week by week to children, it's not our primary responsibility. So what we are doing is working in partnership with parents in the spiritual development of their children. I think that's very important to get that clear in our minds that that's our job. And therefore, one of the things I think is really important in, and the craft is the biggest help in this, is that it helps take the teaching that you've given in Sunday school home with the children and also develop that relationship of talking to the parents about spiritual things. Very simple example. We were talking about the death of Jesus last week in Sunday school, and before I started to tell the story, I said to the children, I want you to think whether you think this is a happy or a sad story. And I actually made a paper bag, put a happy face on one side, a sad face or on another. And at various points, I used that to illustrate what was happy and what was sad. And at the end, while we were doing the craft, I was talking to the children, do you think that's a happy or a sad story? And then when it came time for handing over to parents, as mum or dad or whoever it was came in, I would show mum and dad the craft, say, John has been doing, we've been talking about the death of Jesus, and the question we've been thinking about is the death of Jesus happy or sad? Mum, what would your answer to that question be? I start a conversation with the child. Some of the children I actually prompted to say, it would be really great if you could see what your mum thinks about that. Because she might have an interesting view on that. And of course, it's kind of sad, but it's also very happy, isn't it? Because the outcome of Jesus' death is that we're forgiven and can live forevermore. So it's a very happy event, but it's very sad. So do you see how the craft can be a way of taking the teaching into the home where the responsibility for spiritual growth actually resides? It might just be telling the story. With the Jonah wheel, it was, we've been making this. Hugh, can you tell your mum the story that we learnt in Sunday school today? And Hugh has a go with the little wheel. I think that's a really important part of how crafts work, and I think it's a really important part of making really clear what our job and our role is as Sunday school teachers. Well, crafts to work need to be achievable, appropriate, and enjoyable. What are some of the things that make a craft achievable? Shout them out, anybody? Yes, that's the second one. What makes something... you mean like a kid who's sort of three couldn't possibly do something? Yeah, couldn't achieve it, yeah? Yeah, simple to do. What else? I'm sorry? Yes, yeah, you've got to have the right stuff available. What else? Yeah, fits within the time frame. Very, very difficult to juggle, isn't it, the time sometimes. Things go wrong. You find yourself with a huge amount of time and a craft that takes about 20 seconds to do. And then you kind of, what do we do now? Kids climbing up the curtains. Yeah, we've all been there. So that's achievable. Appropriate? How could things be inappropriate? I've got a little example up there. Yeah, thank you. When you talk about fun in Sunday school, you never do something just to fill in time. Well, you might have to sometimes, but that's got to be at the end and as an extra. But all fun has to be focused on what the Bible passage is on about, what the teaching is for the day. You might start with a game in order to shake the yips out of your feisty five-year-old lads who couldn't possibly sit down because they're too full of beans. But the game has got to be something where there's a purpose for it. It's got some kind of relevance and reference to the story you're moving on to. So focus fun. I mean, sometimes hand painting. How many of you have attempted hand painting? You have. Have you? Are you still in therapy for that session? Exactly. Sometimes a great idea and it's just not going to work, you know, because it takes you forever to clean them up afterwards and the church hall, which needs to be redecorated as a result. And it's got to be enjoyable. It's got to be something that they enjoy doing. To make them work spiritually, we've already talked about it, make sure they reinforce the lesson, not detract from it. So, you know, sometimes the craft or the game is so brilliant and exciting that they walk out thinking, wasn't that a great, great game? Wasn't that a great craft? Not, wasn't that a great story? So it's worth thinking through whether that achieves the focus on God's word or not. I've talked about practicing the story and the message. And again, to come back to this, I think it may not be part of your practice, and I know that it's often chaotic at the end of Sunday school. It is, just reassure me, please. Is it chaotic at the end of Sunday school? Kids everywhere, parents everywhere. It's worse with, we have two morning meetings and a Sunday school. We've just got to get out in time for the 11 o'clock Sunday school to arrive, and it's even worse. But I think the handing over the child is just child safety stuff, but handing over the child with the craft, with the message to the parent, is what really makes this thing worthwhile. So if you can think as a Sunday school, as a group, how you can manage your time in order to do that, then that will that'd be a really important thing to do, I think, to hand them over to the parents properly. And the other thing that's worth thinking about is doing bigger crafts that build bigger connections. I showed this slightly earlier. We're doing a series called Meet the King, which is going through Jesus in Mark's Gospel. And week by week, we are building... Whoops, could you take that end? Thank you. Building this up, which is basically a big banner where we stick bits on every week and bits fall off, which is just the story every week. So every week, we start by looking at what we've done so far about Peter leaving the boats to follow Jesus, about Jesus healing a leper, about the blind man. This is the parable of the sower down here. This is Jesus calming the storm. This is Sherlock Holmes. I don't know what that's about. No, I do. It's Peter working out that Jesus is the Christ. This is the money bag for the rich young ruler who thought money was more important. I've missed a couple, but this is the cross. And week by week, we add more to the crown, because what we're building up is a picture of Jesus, who is the king. And by having an ongoing craft, might not be a picture, it might not be a banner, it might be something physical. You might be making a huge Bible, or you might be building the Tower of Babel, or you might be building an ark. But having something really big that you come back to week after week gives an even greater sense of... thank you very much indeed, of achievement to the children, and enables them to build bigger connections to the Bible story. Now, all those things as basics, it's practice time, and I have three different things to do. You're not going to choose a table, you're already sat down, but what I want you to do is, I've got a sheep. That a friend of mine drew, not me. And with the sheep, those are the instructions there. This is the equipment here. Who wants to do a sheep? We're going to do sheep. Well, just do sheep. I've only got two sets of instructions for that, unfortunately. And I've got... Did they? Okay, well, you choose. I don't mind. We have a lion... I have a lion with some instructions, and that's, you make that out of a paper plate, and those go with that. So who wants to do the lion? The lion, would you mind passing them out? Use three tables with the lion, yeah? And I've got a treasure box. Oh, those are for sheep. Yes. Treasure.
Hello.
You're the treasure. Okay. Who's going for the treasure? No, that's mine. Treasure, which is that and that, but also all of those. And then each table that's doing that needs an origami instruction sheet as well. Should do three tables, yeah? Oh, sorry, I've got another sheep instruction. So we've got a third sheep table. Third sheep table. Sorry? Yeah, I've got some more cotton wool. Sheep table. Have we got any tables that don't have something to do? No. Are you coming round? Have you got another treasure thing, haven't you? Oh, scissors need to go with the lions. Who's got the treasure? Who's got the treasure? Treasure, okay. We need three of those, I think. This is the treasure. You might need to be instructor for that. Why don't you appoint a leader who can read out the instructions and you get going? Well, just put two on one table and two on another. The sheep need glue sticks. Sheep need glue sticks. Does everybody have something to? You don't. Oh, you've got nothing. Can we? Okay. Is that who's doing treasure? Are you doing treasure? Are they doing treasure? Careful. We might need to steal some treasure from them and. Yeah. Sheep. We got some. Can we do? Oh, great. Do you want to do sheep? And I'll just steal some. Could you steal some? These. There you go. Pinch some cotton wool. What's that? Who's not got something still? Could you do treasure? There you go. Could you find some sheets for them and? Just give them that and, oh, look, pull easily, it won't. Could you steal some of the pearls and the treasure off the other plates and put them, maybe just put them in there. Maybe just shove them in there for them. So, I mean, this is a very, sorry, you haven't got a sheet, but... First question to ask is, it's a very simple thing. You stick on cotton wool. Sorry? What, a spare sheep sheet. Basically, you've got four verses there. This is a typical small children kind of activity. You've got four verses there. Choose one that you're going to stick on the bottom. You kind of stick the cotton wool on as part of the event. I'll maybe find you some pens. You can do some other kind of stuff on it. But the questions I want to ask you are, which age group do you think these verses are appropriate for? What's good and what's bad about them? Which age group is the activity appropriate for? How would you match the verse and the activity? What would you say as children made it? How would you discuss either the story or what the teaching was? Because some of those are from stories, some of them are pieces of Bible teaching. Oh, there you go. And then how are you going to do the handover? You've got young Cadix. Is that your name, Cadix? Cadiz. You got young Cadiz there. You're handing him over to his dad. What are you going to say? What are you going to say with get Cadiz to explain from it to his dad? And how are you going to do it in such a way that it starts a conversation? Is that all right? Good. Lay on. Oh, sorry. You can do it. Here's one I made earlier. And it only took me 5 minutes. The second time. Mm. I'll bring it back, I promise. Okay. Here's one I made earlier. It only took me 5 minutes the second time.
Seven-year-olds, they really struggled.
What did I say at the beginning? No, but this is a training event. So this is the kind of thing that you think might be okay. Look, when you, this is how it comes in. So it's folded down the side. Those things go in, and then it folds over and goes down there like that.
I'll show you now. There you go, like that.
Yes, you see?
Apparently we're going for an angry lion over here.
Angry lion. I've realised I've missed something out of this. Let me just go grab it. String. Sorry? Yes, sorry, slightly frazzled because I was late starting. Yeah, with the lion, yes. They can either make it as a thing or as a mask, in which case they'll need a bit of string to tie it round. So if you can find a pair of scissors and cut bits of string for them and take them around, that would be great. Here's one I made earlier. It took me 5 minutes. The second time round. Which verse are you going to choose? Because I think the big question to ask here, well, no, is what age group is this activity appropriate for? And which Bible verse actually is the one that a child of that age will be able to really understand? So
they would know what a sheep is. They know it went far, but we were trying to teach them a bit more about sheep. Because if they haven't got sheep, they're not going to get shepherds, because it's kind
exactly.
of... Exactly. And we've got a visual of a shepherd, so...
Yeah.
But even if we did, they
can understand how Jesus... Yeah. So, I mean, that's really interesting, isn't it? This is a lovely activity. That would end up on the fridge at home. But it might not actually support your teaching point very well, because they don't kind of quite get that... You know, is that Jesus? Is he the sheep? Or, you know...
Just because Jesus isn't there, is he?
No.
He's not the shepherd.
So here's the question.
If you need to do a shepherd beside the sheep, do a shepherd so you can do tissue.
Exactly. So how might you change the activity to illustrate... or to bring out the Bible teaching more? That's the conversation you need to ask. It might just be as simple as the child putting their name at the top, and or on the sheep, or saying, Jesus is my shepherd, or Jesus looks after me. That kind of exactly. So, I know how I work as a. Is this on? Am I blasting through the? Sorry. I know how I work as a Sunday school leader. Oh, maybe it's. Is that say mute? Where's the mute? Is that mute? Which side is mute? Okay, thank you. I grab something and do it just because I don't have time to think about it. But I know that that's not. I am often in the middle of crafts thinking, this really isn't helping. And so I have to kind of think on my feet on the fly to do something with it that actually serves the scriptures that I'm teaching. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's good in theory. That works if you're using it. If you get kids to make things and they've got hold of them during the teaching session, that really doesn't work because it's kind of, you know, there was, yeah.
Yeah.
So some teaching material will say, have the children make X, Y, Z at the beginning, and then as the story's going on, they hold up the soldier. It's a catastrophe, because they're just focusing on this and not listening. Yeah. Good. How are you getting on here? Are you working out, is this a good activity or not? Does it work in the sense that we've been talking about crafts working?
Something they can do. Achievable.
Yeah, it's achievable. I think this has got problems. It's a thing they find achievable and fun. I think the Bible verses I chose are actually quite deliberately. They're quite difficult for a child to get from the Lord is my shepherd, but oh, actually, there's a picture of a sheep here. What sheep, you know, that's got to be explained within the context. It might work better if there was a shepherd on it looking after them. Might work better if they put their name at the top and had Jesus looks after me underneath. Yeah. Those are the kind of things you need to be thinking as you work with crafts. It's easy as a Sunday school teacher to grab onto a thing that you know they'll love, but it's actually not working in terms of teaching the scriptures to the children. It doesn't actually take the message home with them. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I agree. But what's the problem here? This isn't an 8+ activity. You wouldn't do this with a child over 8. They would think this is childish and silly. It's a 3s to 6 activities. Even most of your 6s will be going, that's a bit naff. But, I mean, that, as I said, it's a training exercise. And the training exercise here is to understand that although this is great fun, it's not working in a whole variety of ways that you would need to adapt if you were going to use it. How are you doing, lion people? Who's gone for masks? Why did you go for a mask rather than... Have I got to finish?
Sorry, you need to wind it up.
I've got to wind it up.
This room.
Okay. Sorry, I've got to wind things up now because just a few resources. Fabulous Crafts is a terrific resource for doing crafts. That is well structured about getting the focus on the Bible passage. I hope you've understood from these activities some things are unachievable. The origami people, it's a great idea. Oh, it's a great idea. Some people needing to go into therapy there. Buy a box, for goodness sake. Put some cotton wool in it. Put the pearl in it. Put a strip of paper with the name Jesus on it. And then as you talk about it with the children, you say, this is a pearl of great price. Jesus is the pearl of great price. Jesus is even more important than the most valuable thing you can think of. Is there some thing you can do with the box? Is there some kind of story you could do as you hand over to the parents? What's this activity about? Get the child to open the box. It's really valuable, but Jesus is much more valuable. Something like that. The lion. How would you adapt the lion to adapt the story? Did you read the story? The key thing in the story is that the Lord stopped the mouths of the lion. So how would you adapt this to better teach the story? You give it a mouth. You cut a flap for the mouth, and with the child you would go, the lions were all hungry, and Daniel was thrown in, but the Lord sent an angel who stopped the mouth of the lion, and they were saved. Really simple thing, but it relies on you reading the Bible properly and working out what is the main teaching point. It's not that lions are really cuddly and lovely. It is that God rescued Daniel by stopping the mouths of the lion. That's the way you use a craft like that in that kind of way. Who do we have? Sheep? I think I talked to most of the sheep people. The sheep is a lovely activity, but it's flawed in all kinds of ways. Kids don't get what a shepherd is. They don't get that most of the verses that you were using with it were, the Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd? We don't know what a shepherd is. And they've got a picture of a sheep. The activity is for a kind of 3, 4, 5-year-old. But really the concepts in the Bible verse are really a bit more advanced. So how do you match them together in a way that really works? We've run out of time, I'm afraid. Their God is so big has lots of fantastic simple crafts at the back of them. Fabulous Crafts is really good to work, and if you haven't tried it, used it, Click tries to give lots of our teaching curriculum, tries to give lots of ideas for the way you do those things in a way that serves the Bible teaching and doesn't work against it. So thank you very much.